The Catra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Catra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into a book that many people, serious people, have called maybe the best business book ever written.
That's right. We're talking to John Brooks's Business Adventures, The Human Dimension of Corporate America, a classic.
It really is. And it's fascinating because, you know, these are stories from the 1950s, the 1960s. We're talking product launches, market swings from way back.
Yeah, you might wonder, okay, why look at the Ford Edsel failure now when we've got AI in, you know, completely different markets?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Why do Bill Gates and Warren Buffett keep recommending this book about stuff that happened decades ago?
Well, I think it's because Brooks just nailed something fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that business, especially when the stakes are high, it's really all about people.
Mm.
Success, failure. It's driven by, you know, the messy, unpredictable human stuff.
Mm.
Ambition, fear, ego, groupthink, honesty. Technology changes, sure, but people. That human element is the constant variable. Maybe the most important one.
Okay, so let's talk about the guy who saw this so clearly. John Brooks. He wasn't your typical business guru, right? Not a CEO, not an academic pushing a management theory.
No, not at all. John Brooks, he lived from 1920 to 1993.
Yeah.
And he was primarily a really distinguished journalist, longtime writer for The New Yorker.
Ah, okay. So that explains the style. It's great storytelling.
Exactly. It's deeply reported, character-focused journalism. It's not dry theory. And that background is key to why the book works so well.
And didn't he have a kind of unusual background mix? Something about literature and finance?
Yeah, that's the fascinating part. He studied literature, so he had that narrative gift, that eye for story and character.
Mm-hmm.
But he also actually worked on Wall Street for a bit.
Interesting.
So he had both sides. He could understand the complex financial stuff, the market mechanics, but he could also step back like a novelist or a social historian and see the bigger picture. The human drama, the irony, the personalities driving these huge corporate events.
Mm-hmm.
He made complex things feel compelling and, well, human.
Right. So let's get into the book itself, Business Adventures. It's not one single story, is it? It's a collection.
That's right. It's 12 distinct adventures, as he called them. Each one is a deep dive into a specific, really pivotal moment in American corporate or financial history.
And the goal wasn't just to recount history, was it? What was he trying to achieve by putting these specific stories together?
Well, I think his main goal was to use these vivid stories to illustrate universal truths about business. The core idea, the central thesis running through all of them, is that business decisions aren't just about numbers and logic. They're shaped profoundly by human factors. Emotions, relationships, office politics, miscommunication, pride. That whole messy web of human interaction often matters more than the perfect strategy on paper. Understanding people, Brooks is saying, is the key to understanding business.
And he made it accessible, too. You don't need an MBA to get it. He covers huge stock market crashes, massive product failures, big innovations. But he explains it all clearly with really vivid details.
Yeah, he pulls you in. It's like a mosaic of capitalism showing these patterns of human behavior repeating over and over again in different contexts.
So examining these high-stakes moments, crisis, innovation, ethical slips, lets us see those fundamental human patterns that, well, just don't seem to change much.
Exactly. The context changes, the technology changes, but the human drama plays out again and again.
All right, let's dig into some of those specific adventures. They really bring the book to life. Maybe start with the stock market chaos, the fluctuation. It covers that crazy day in May 1962.
Yes, the 62 flash crash, as people sometimes call it now. Brooks does this amazing minute-by-minute breakdown of how a pretty normal market dip suddenly snowballed.
What caused it to spiral like that?
It was a combination of things. Mass psychology, basically panic, but also the technology of the time, the ticker tapes, just couldn't keep up with the selling frenzy.
So the lack of information made things worse?
Exactly. That delay, that uncertainty, it just amplified the fear. People were selling because other people were selling. It turned a correction into this contagious wave of terror, showed how fragile confidence can be.
So the big lesson there isn't about algorithms or technicals, it's about emotion.
Absolutely. Brooks included that markets aren't these rational calculating machines. They are fundamentally emotional systems, driven by fear and greed. That 1962 event was a perfect demonstration. Even a sophisticated system is vulnerable to herd behavior, to pure human panic.
Okay, so from market panic, let's shift to maybe the most famous story of corporate failure in the book, the fate of the Edsel, Ford's giant expensive flop in the late 50s.
Oh, the Edsel. It's become legendary, hasn't it? And for good reason. Ford spent a fortune, something like hundreds of millions in 1950s dollars, developing this car. They did mountains of market
Well, what
research.
went wrong? All that research, all that money?
Brooks points to a few key things. One was definitely corporate hubris. Ford was riding high, feeling invincible. Another major factor was poor internal communication. And the research itself was flawed.
How so?
Well, it seemed they ended up designing a car not for actual customers, but for this kind of abstract idea. A mythical composite consumer, Brooks called it. Someone pieced together from statistics, but who didn't really exist in the real world.
Wow, that's incredible. All that data, and they missed the human element, the actual taste.
Precisely. The data became disconnected from reality. It's a powerful parable about how organizations can get lost in their own assumptions, their own internal narratives. Groupthink took over, and nobody could really challenge the direction effectively until it was way too late.
So, if the Edsel is the cautionary tale of failure driven by hubris, let's look at a success story. Xerox, 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 Xerox. This one's about the rise of Xerox, right? From basically nothing.
Yeah, from a small company called Haloid. They bet everything on this completely unproven technology called xerography.
And it wasn't an easy road, was it?
Not at all. Brooks really emphasizes the years of struggle. And get this, they actually offered the technology to the big guys early on, IBM, GE,
Yeah.
major corporations.
And they turned it down.
Flat out rejected it. They just couldn't see the potential. They were focused on their existing businesses like carbon paper. They couldn't imagine a world needing these big, expensive, plain paper copiers.
So the lesson there is about disruptive innovation, how hard it is for established players to see it coming.
Exactly. It takes real imagination, maybe even courage, to bet on something that fundamentally changes the game. The established players are often blinded by their current success. They lack the vision, or maybe the willingness to risk cannibalizing their own products.
Xerox's success wasn't just about the tech then, it was about belief, vision.
Immense human courage and long-term vision. Sticking with it when everyone else said it was crazy. It really underscores that innovation requires patience and conviction, not just a good idea.
Brooks also tackles ethics head-on. There's the chapter The Impacted Philosophers about the General Electric price-fixing scandal in the early 60s.
Right. And what's chilling about that story is how ordinary, respected executives got caught up in it. It wasn't like a cartoon villain scheme.
How did it happen then?
Brooks describes it as this slow, subtle erosion of standards. There was intense pressure within GE, unspoken pressure, to keep hitting profit targets. So managers started using these winks and nods, carefully coded language, to coordinate prices with competitors. It wasn't an explicit order from the top, but the culture kind of allowed it, even encouraged it implicitly.
That's fascinating. The culture enabling bad behavior rather than just one bad apple.
Exactly. It shows how organizational pressure can make good people do unethical things.
And you mentioned Brooks contrasts this with another situation involving ethics, something about the salad oil swindle.
Yes, the chapter Making the Customers Whole. This was after a massive fraud in 1963 involving fake vegetable oil inventories that bankrupted a brokerage firm, Ira Haupt & Co. The New York Stock Exchange faced a crisis.
So what did the NYSE do?
Well, legally, they didn't have to cover the losses of Ira Haupt's clients. The firm failed. Too bad for the customers. That was the legal position.
But they did cover the losses.
They did. They made a conscious, very expensive decision to bail out the customers, even though they weren't obligated to.
Why? Why take that massive hit?
Brooks argues it was purely about preserving public trust. Trust in the brokerage system, trust in the exchange itself. They realized that without that trust, the entire market system could collapse.
So character and integrity weren't just nice to haves, they were essential assets.
Absolutely. Brooks frames it as a hard asset. Integrity underpins the whole system. The NYSE chose long-term survival and credibility over short-term financial gain or legal protection. Quite a contrast to the GE situation.
It really is. Okay, let's try to pull together some of the big overarching themes from these stories. The first one seems unavoidable: the absolute importance of human psychology.
Yeah, that's the bedrock, isn't it? Time and again, Brooks shows business outcomes hinge more on emotion, motivation, cognitive biases like the panic in 62, the Edsel team's pride, than on purely rational calculations. Ignoring that irrational human element is just risky.
And related to that, the second theme, the danger of groupthink and that corporate hubris we talked about.
Right. So many failures, like the Edsel, stem from cultures where people were afraid to speak up, where dissent wasn't welcomed. Success breeds overconfidence, which creates blind spots. If everyone around the table is saying yes, you might be heading for disaster.
And a third theme, maybe less obvious but crucial in Brooks's telling, is communication, or the lack of it.
Definitely. Communication breakdowns are at the root of so many of these stories. Brooks even have a whole section critiquing that dense, jargon-filled business ease. He basically argues that fuzzy language often reflects fuzzy thinking. Or worse, it's used deliberately to hide things. Clear communication signals clear thought.
Brooks had such a knack for summing things up, didn't he? Let's touch on a few of those memorable lines that really stick with you.
Oh yeah, he was incredibly quotable. Probably the most famous is about the stock market. The stock market is a voting machine in the short run, but a weighing machine in the long run.
That captures it perfectly. The short-term noise, the emotional voting, versus the long-term fundamental value, the weighing. What about one that speaks to that danger of groupthink?
I think the line, the most expensive words in business are everybody knows that. It's that nail on the head.
Yeah.
It just perfectly captures how relying on conventional wisdom, on what everybody knows, can blind you to reality changing right under your nose. It stops people from asking the hard questions.
And maybe one more, tying back to Xerox and innovation.
There's the insight that true innovation isn't just about inventing new technology. It's about understanding what people really want, even when they don't know it themselves.
Ah, that's deep. It's about anticipating needs.
Exactly. It requires that imaginative leap, understanding latent desires.
Yeah.
That's more of a psychological skill than just an engineering one.
So let's make this really practical. If you're listening to this, maybe you're a leader, a manager, an investor. How do you actually use these lessons today?
Well, for leaders, I think the Edsel story is a huge warning. You need to actively cultivate intellectual humility. Question your own assumptions constantly. And maybe more importantly, build a culture where people feel safe, giving you honest, even critical feedback. Reward the dissenters. Don't shut them down.
Right. Don't create an echo chamber. And for investors or managers dealing with, say, market volatility,
the lesson from the fluctuation is key. Remember that markets are driven by fear and greed. Knowing that helps you stay disciplined when things get crazy. Keep your eye on the long-term weighing machine, not the short-term voting machine noise. Emotional discipline is crucial.
And maybe pay attention to communication inside your own organization.
Definitely. Look at the language being used. Is it clear? Is it honest? Or is it full of jargon and ambiguity? As the GE case showed, vague communication can sometimes be interpreted as permission to bend the rules. It's a form of risk management, really.
You know, what really struck me revisiting this is just how incredibly relevant these decades-old stories still feel. Technology has changed beyond recognition, but the core human dramas Brooks described, they haven't changed at all.
Not really.
Ambition, fear, pride, the struggle with ethics. It's all still playing out every day in businesses around the world. It proves that history really does offer practical wisdom, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I think the ultimate takeaway from business adventures is that business isn't really a science you can master with formulas. It's human drama, high-stakes human drama. And the most lasting lesson, perhaps, is that understanding people, their motivations, their flaws, their potential is actually more critical for long-term success than mastering any specific business technique or framework. The leaders, the companies that endure, seem to be the ones that maintain some humility and stay grounded in human reality.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.